Hey, I'm Danny Levy, and you're listening to Digital Transformation and Leadership. This is the show where we go behind the scenes with today's top business leaders to understand how they're digitally transforming their company. My guest this week is Flora Hu, the head of e-commerce Asia at Carlsberg Group. Flora, welcome to Digital Transformation and Leadership.
Thank you. Thank you, Danny. Thank you for having me here.
It's my pleasure. And you're dialing in today. You're back in Hong Kong?
Yes, I did get back to Hong Kong. There was a cloudy day today, not a super nice weather, but I'm back to Hong Kong.
And you've had a few kind of quarantine trips. You've been into China and then back again for the Chinese New Year.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit of a trip. But it's completely a new era to travel around nowadays. But everything went smoothly.
And nice to be home for the holidays?
Yeah, absolutely. After a year, it's always nice to be back finally.
Yeah, I envy you. I haven't been home now for almost 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So when those green lanes reopen, I'll be straight on a plane, fly back to see the family.
Yeah, hopefully that comes soon, right?
Yeah, we'll keep fingers crossed. So Flora, before we get into the topic today, it'd be great if you could introduce yourself for the listeners and what it is that you're doing.
Absolutely. So my name is Flora Hu, and I had the Asia e-commerce business for Carlsberg. And I always mention to people, you know, if you think about e-commerce, there are three roles for e-commerce. It's a sales channel, it is media, and it is also an insights generator. So my role basically expands across exactly those three areas. I drive e-commerce sales by working very closely with the country teams across Asia, which often sits under sales functions. I also work with our marketing teams very closely, making sure that we use e-commerce as a media efficiently. And whenever we're investing in media, we're using it efficiently to ultimately drive sales into the e-commerce channel. And last but not least is really to look at all the data that we have and make sure that we do the right analytics for decision making. And prior to joining Carlsberg, I worked for Tesco for 5 years, leading the global business development efforts for global export business.
So was it quite a natural transition into e-commerce? How did that come about?
Yeah, absolutely. Very natural. Yeah. In fact, across the 5 years I spent at Tesco, we did look into a lot of e-commerce related initiatives across Asia, and we did look into a lot of partnerships potentially with e-commerce players. And that's really when I started to look into e-commerce much more closely and eventually grew interest in this area.
It's the place to be at the moment, I think.
Yeah, hope so.
Yeah. So before we get into the topic today, which I'm really excited to talk about, which we're going to be talking about live streaming in Asia, I just wanted to break the ice a little bit. I just wondered if you could share with me and the listeners, if you were kind of stuck on a desert island, what would be the one song you would want to have with you and why?
Absolutely. And that's a good question, by the way. I really like this song called Try by Kobe Kaylay. And the lyrics, I won't obviously repeat the lyrics here, but basically it's about, you know, staying true to yourself, being ourselves, without trying so hard to meet other people's expectations, which tends to be difficult in our lives. Mm. So that's one song that I really like, and the one song that I will bring to the desert island for sure.
Very good. I like it. It's always important to be true to yourself, isn't it, and do what's right for you before trying to please other people.
Yeah, exactly.
But easy to forget. Very easy to forget. Yeah. So we're going to get into a really big topic at the moment, and something that's very much kind of taking the e-commerce world and other industries by storm. We're going to be talking about e-commerce live streaming in Asia and kind of looking at where we are now and how we prepare for the future. And I know this is something that you've worked on at your company. And we've got kind of 4 points that we're going to unpack here. So I'm really excited to get into this with you. The first point, Flora, we're going to talk about is why live streaming will be important for building brands and generating sales. So I'd love it if you could talk us through that.
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe it helps if I start by kind of having a little bit of a background intro. So
yeah, that would be great.
For those, you know, those of you listening to this audio right now, you know, in China, for instance, most brands actually on Tmall do 6 to 8 hours of live streaming per day in their store. So it's just very common And it is an important tool for any kind of e-commerce businesses in China and across Asia as well. And there is an entire industry behind the value chain on live streaming in China, as you can imagine, many agencies working on that. And there are many formats of live streaming. For example, you've got the in-store live streaming, which I mentioned before, and it's usually handled by agencies. And then you've got, you know, brand ambassadors or celebrities appearing in special campaigns, live streaming sessions. And you've also got different KOLs doing live streaming in either e-commerce or social media platforms like Douyin, which is the Chinese version of TikTok. So there are various formats, the entire industry behind it. And the influence of live streaming is just so huge. And it's absolutely comparable to television, if not more, in many cases. For example, last week, there is a very famous TV show host in China who did her first e-commerce live streaming session, and she attracted more than 7 million viewers. So it's just becoming such an important element for e-commerce that everyone, every brand is looking into right now. So, you know, coming back to the original question, which is kind of why live streaming is so important for bringing brands and generating sales. I think the first thing that I want to say is that because the people, we have a natural communication style that we are used to. That's basically talking while seeing someone's face, right? So in fact, there is a natural human touch in the format of live streaming. You can directly, as an audience, you can directly interact with the someone doing the live streaming. You can ask questions, you can get answers, and then you're seeing some people actually showing you the product. So the style of live streaming is just so natural. You don't need to form additional or new consumer habit. So I think that ultimately determines why I think live streaming will be prosperous even more going forward. And also, if I can kind of draw a parallel to live streaming, I'm not so sure whether, Danny, you have heard about this app called Clubhouse, which...
I have indeed. It's been coming up very, very often on the podcast recently.
Right? It's been a completely a blast, and it just gained so much popularity in a very short period of time, and everyone got jumped onto it. And in fact, I think that's popular because of the same reason, it's because people kind of are used to talking to each other live. You know, you just it's almost similar to a live streaming session in certain ways, but it's more obviously towards the social media functionality rather than an e-commerce or kind of self-generating functionality. But I think it's popular also for the fact that it's, you know, it's just people like to talk to each other live.
Have you used it, Clubhouse?
I have. I have tuned in for many interesting Clubhouse sessions, and I absolutely enjoyed it. Yeah, it's a very interesting one. And then, you know, also live streaming will be important because it is highly flexible in many ways. You know, it just allows brands to really utilize it in the way that it wants. It's up to the brands to decide how we use it to the best, right? You can use live streaming as, you know, just driving a tool to drive sales. You can also use live streaming to build brands in a very effective and creative ways. You know, for example, in the past, we have hosted some really interesting live streaming sessions building our Kronenbourg 1664 brands within the Carlsberg brand family. While we talk about, you know, French history, for instance, because it is a brand that's deeply rooted in the French culture. And we've got, even in the past, we've got some sessions where we kind of bring up the glassware and really tell the audience, you know, how to pour the beer in the right way, or, you know, beer culture in general, you know, there are a lot of things that you can do with live streaming. It's just so flexible, and you know, it's a space where you can really get your creativity up and influence your consumers in the best way that you want. But then, having said all of that, if we look at live streaming currently across Asia, one of the first reactions that I got from a lot of people is that, you know, sometimes it's just very boring. Mm-hmm. People tend to just do hard selling on live streaming. But in fact, you know, it should be more than that. You know, you can do a lot more. There are a lot more potentials to it other than hard selling. So this is really why we think, you know, there are a lot of things that that can be done related to live streaming for e-commerce. And last but not least on this point, which I really want to mention, is that personally, live streaming sits really closely to my heart, because I truly believe that live streaming is a tool to bring out, you know, stories. It can bring out values. And a lot of times it is used in the way that can even be like bridging the poverty gaps, for instance, right? Like in China nowadays, we've seen a lot of live streaming. So where the live streamer actually are, you know, the people living in the rural areas, less developed areas, and they grow fruits, for instance, in those areas themselves, and they directly do the live streaming, selling those fruits to bigger cities. So, you know, you get, as an audience, you can actually see the entire process. Yeah, you can see the farm yourself. You can see how your product was produced at the first place. You can actually talk to the people that you may have not got a chance to talk to otherwise. So I think that has a lot of value. You know, that brings people together, and it actually brings values to the product itself. So in fact, there is a little bit of a social responsibility element into live streaming as well. You know, how we can actually use live streaming to minimize the gaps that we have seen socially across the societies. How can we use live streaming to really bring people together? And that's a kind of a bigger and deeper question.
Yeah, I think on that last point, I mean, so many good things I'm going to come back to you on here, Flora, just to unpack a little bit. But that last point you mentioned around the social responsibility element, I think there's been a lot of focus, hasn't there, in recent years on ethical retailing, on making sure that your brand values align with your customer values, because people want to buy from brands that they associate with and kind of see themselves in. And if you can build a strong brand, then sometimes you don't really think about much else, right? You just want to buy that latest product. Apple's always a good example. So I think here what you mentioned around live streaming is really what you were getting at, is that actually you can show your customer base and potential customers all the areas in which you are being ethical and you do have a responsible supply chain, and showing them really through video and live streaming, which is so powerful.
Exactly.
All the ways in which they're doing this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Why do you think it is, though, that brands still make the mistake of being too salesy? Is it that they just want to be able to kind of get on and talk about themselves, and they want an immediate ROI, and they have more of a short-term view? Why do you think they do that?
That's a really good question. You're absolutely right. In fact, a lot of the times when we think of e-commerce and live streaming for e-commerce, people immediately look for conversions. People want to sell products. People go into it thinking, okay, this is a cheaper tool for me to sell products in a very short period of time, which is true in some cases, but it is far more than that. In fact, you know, you need to almost bring your consumers down to your entire funneling, right? Like, you start with making sure that they're aware of your products, and then eventually increase their interest, and then you encourage them to purchase, right? Moving along that entire funneling takes time, and this will never change, and it will not be immediate moving down the funneling within one single live streaming session. It's a long-term goal, and it's a long-term project. So you can't really get too short-sighted when going into live streaming. And also another point that I want to make here is that live streaming, as I mentioned before, there are different formats. There are different platforms. So not every single platform is good for generating immediate sales. When I said the hard selling way of doing live streaming, not really saying that it's necessarily wrong. In certain situations and on certain platforms, that's the way to go, right? You have only 5 minutes of slots. You are working with a top KOL. He's generating tons of sales, and you want him to generate sales for you within that 5 minutes. Then, you know, that's the only way you should be doing the hard selling way. But if you have a longer period of time, let's say 1 hour live streaming session on a more social media type of a platform, then you have a completely different goal. And you should be having a completely different goal, by the way. And you probably just use that 1 hour to kind of design in a much more kind of a media or much more brand-focused communication style rather than hard selling.
Got it. And you mentioned Clubhouse a little bit earlier, which everyone's been talking about. I think they did a great job, didn't they, making it quite exclusive in terms of only being able to go on if you were invited. That's a separate conversation. Clubhouse, I think, has done quite well because I think there's two-way audio. You can communicate and you can talk. It's like a podcast, but with audience Q&A.
Yeah.
Live streaming, for those that are new or out there, is that the same as well? Are people able to kind of have that two-way communication and ask questions?
Yeah, that's a good one. In fact, for Clubhouse, obviously, you are able to directly talk back to the host, right? But then the host needs to give you the permission. So that's the way that they control, they make it a controlled environment. Versus on a live streaming, usually it's less controlled, but then the way that you talk back is limited to text most of the time, right? So you can write questions freely, but obviously this brings up a question, you know, when you have a live streaming session with millions of viewers, a lot of times the questions get overcrowded. And then people, like the host, for instance, will not be able to see every single question for sure. The larger live streaming session you have, the lower, I would say, the quality of the engagement itself becomes, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I guess there's pros and cons, isn't there, then? I mean, if you've got tons of people watching, then fantastic from a, maybe a brand building or a top of funnel activity. But if you've got less people in there, maybe they're more targeted at actually who you want to be selling to. And you've got that opportunity to actually interact and go into depth on their questions.
Exactly. That's right.
Yeah. Interesting. So you can actually use it for different stages of the funnel almost, I guess, in terms of what you want to achieve.
Yeah.
Looking at those audience sizes.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah. And it's really taking, or it's already taken China by storm. And you mentioned that it's becoming much bigger across Asia and Southeast Asia. Why do you think it is that it's just kind of caught such traction in recent years? What is it about it? If you had to put your finger on it, why are people so interested in it?
Again, it comes back to the format itself, because you can do. It's a very direct communication style.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
you can, as a brand, you can do a lot. You can really design the contents very freely. You can sell your products and you can build your brands. You can build, really tell your brand story. It's really up to you. So, and also, I think since you mentioned about the, right now, for example, across Asia, more and more Southeast Asian countries actually start to look into live streaming, just like China did many years ago. You know, I think overall, if we look at the entire e-commerce ecosystem, China's influence across Southeast Asia is getting a little bit bigger within this e-commerce specific area. That includes the platforms. You know, we've got Lazada, who is part of the Alibaba group. So the functionalities, the trend, the landscape, you know, everything has becoming more and more influenced by the China ecosystem, and they are actually able to develop their own ecosystems much faster because they learned from China. They are having access to a lot of the algorithms, the technologies that have already been built within the China e-commerce system, and then they can kind of adapt it very fast within the Southeast Asia realities to the kind of the local consumers' behaviors. So I think that gives the Southeast Asian players a little bit of a edge in kind of, you know, developing something like this live streaming in a much shorter, faster nature compared to how long it took for China to develop to the current stage.
Yeah, it's always easier, isn't it, to get something off the ground when there's already a proof of concept. You can see it working in another market. There's use cases, and then being able to bring that in, and also I guess just build the business case in your own organization as to why we should get it off the ground.
Exactly.
So should we get into the second point here around the deeper implications for brands?
Yeah, absolutely. So having said all of the importance of live streaming for building brands and generating sales, I think there are some deeper implications for us as brands, which is basically the requirement for enhanced content production capabilities. And when I talk about content production capabilities here, we're more talking about the spontaneous content production capabilities, which is significantly different from the past how we define content production. Because in the kind of old days, you know, you will have a 20 specialist team, and you will have tons of agency staff actually working on a project for maybe half a year to do several minutes videos, right? That's what we envision the content production usually is in the past, in the old days. But nowadays, you know, it's no longer that. I think there are much, much more requirements for the brands to adapt to the new reality. And in terms of that specific capability enhancement, I want to kind of break it down into two dimensions. One is about the quality of it, and the second is about the quantity of it. So if we start from the quality side, right? Again, as I mentioned, in the past, you have half a year or you have several months to work on a 1 minute video, for instance, right? Like, so you have enough time, enough expertise to really shape the quality of your content. But nowadays, because of the fast pace of our e-commerce business nature, and also things like live streaming getting more and more popular, you know, you don't have that luxury of putting in a large team to shape your content to the best quality that you can be. As a result, it's really more about the ideas. It's about the fast execution. And it's also about your teams as well, right? Like, you can't be just relying on agencies and specialist teams anymore. And in the past, for live streaming sessions, you know, in China, we've seen executives required to actually show up and talk about their brands in live streaming sessions all the time. I've seen so many of my colleagues within the e-commerce space getting onto Tmall and talk about brands, right? So it's fascinating to see. You know, in the past, that they probably are never required to show up in front of a camera. But nowadays, it's almost like a requirement, a mandatory requirement, to have that kind of a visibility or have that level of a flexibility. And also, all of your contents needs to be transferable, needs to be able to, for example, to be passed to a KOL within several pages, and then the KOL can actually take that content and translate it into a 5 minutes live streaming session in a day or two. So all of that requires a lot of preparations behind the scene to ensure that you still have a decent content level when you do your live streaming sessions.
Okay.
So that's really about quality. And then actually, it's also about the quantity, as I mentioned, because nowadays we do so many hours of live streaming, either in our store or with our KOLs, you know, brand ambassadors, and so on and so forth. So the level of the quantity of the contents is just never seen before. You mm-hmm. are constantly talking to your consumers directly. You are constantly generating contents. And when I mentioned about this quantity of contents, I think there is a very important element of it, which is, you know, having a mindset of accumulating contents out of your live streaming sessions. For example, we engaged with this very famous Chinese actress for one of our brands in China, and she participated in one of the live streaming sessions. And then there are some topics, for instance, like we asked her to kind of show us, oh, you know, what are the good selfie postures that you think are good when holding our bottles of 1664 Blanc. So, you know, a topic like that, the content is really nice. It is mm-hmm. really kind of useful. It provides a kind of, you know, additional, I guess, knowledge or interest for the consumers potentially. That type of content out of live streaming sessions should never be just left out alone there, right? You mm-hmm. need to accumulate that content, tailor it afterwards, shape it into, let's say, for example, short videos or some other formats whatsoever, and then adapt it to other platforms. And then eventually you're going to build this contents library where you have accumulated contents over the years out of all of those hours of live streaming. So that becomes a good cycle. You will have more and more contents, and then you can reuse them. You are building eventually a content marketing matrix, and you kind of know which channel to be and which contents to be put in those type of channels respectively.
Yeah, fantastic. That two very big areas there around quality and quantity. I love the breakdown, Flora. I'm really interested in what you said about on the quality side. I think you said about the struggle for companies is that sometimes they have to get very comfortable with actually not being able to vet a video so much. You know, they can't spend months on approval processes and making sure that it aligns with everything internally before it goes out. And from people I speak to, I think that's still an issue, isn't there? Because there's so much approval sometimes companies want to go through before anything goes live.
Yeah.
And it seems here that in live streaming, speed is very important. And you mentioned as well, you've got to get your executives almost buying in as well to be kind of in front of the camera and comfortable with that as well. Are there any recommendations you would make maybe from your experience for companies to get closer to that or more comfortable with that?
I see. That's a good one. I think in order to get everyone comfortable from an internal kind of organizational structure perspective, right? Like procedure perspective. Yeah. I think you need to kind of, you know, educate the crowd what live streaming is about and prepare them beforehand. That's why internally we're doing a lot of things behind the scenes to prepare, right? Okay. Going back to that content library, in fact, that content library also includes, you know, all the guidelines, for instance. If our brands have specific guidelines related to our communications to the consumers, that needs to be communicated beforehand. That needs to be prepared in a digestible way to the KOLs, to whoever is doing our live streaming, to make sure that they kind of follow our guidelines. And that type of things will not be an issue, right, if you communicate beforehand. So really the preparation is the key. And also another thing that I want to highlight is I think it's also about the mentality, right? Like in the past, people want 100% control, which is understandable. But on the other hand, people need to understand in the digital world, it's very difficult to do 100% control all the time with your brand message and so on and so forth. You can do your best in terms of preparation, but then prepare for the worst in the live streaming session, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I think just getting everyone into that mentality of live streaming is also quite important.
Yeah. Do you think people as well have to get into that mindset as well that actually maybe the watchers or the listeners, that they actually... sometimes prefer the content not to be, I guess, too thought through or overthought or overprepared or overedited, and it comes across as actually too edited in a sense, right? It doesn't seem natural, and actually people tend to resonate better with more raw content.
Totally.
I don't know what your thoughts are on that. Yeah.
Totally. As a consumer, yeah. If I put myself into a consumer's shoes, I would definitely prefer less tailored, less prepared in a way. Like, I want to see the live reactions. I want to see the product live. I don't want to see too much of a Photoshop, right? Mm. If I see some kind of pictures, you know, I want to make sure that these are really the products that I'm getting, right?
Yeah.
So live streaming, actually, because of the nature, it gets rid of a lot of those kind of extra hands behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. It really, the role kind of a content's nature, I think, is in fact the beauty of live streaming as well.
Yeah. And you mentioned, I think that goes back to what we were talking about in the first point, doesn't it, around humanizing your brand almost, and really being able to bring people into that journey. And then often when you do humanize something, again, that has to be a little bit more raw because you're kind of seeing behind the curtain.
Totally, totally. And also because, for example, when you do live streaming, you can see other consumers' reactions as well, right? So that becomes a really live engagement. You can see the real reactions. You cannot be, you know, just looking at the comments. You know, sometimes the comments for the e-commerce size, you know, you don't really know whether those are the real comments or not. But if I look at the live reactions of a live streaming session, I can easily relate myself to the rest of the listeners and then see, okay, that person says this functionality of this product is really good. That might be interesting to check out, right? So you know, there is not only the engagement is between the consumer and the host of the live streaming, but also it's among the consumers as well.
And you mentioned around quantity. So you have to be in a position as well where you can get more out to your consumers, to your customers. For the listeners out there that haven't started yet or are just getting started, how often should you be putting out a live streaming session?
That's an interesting one. For anyone who has not started, I would say start first. I would say, you know, like forget about the frequency. The frequency is not really hugely important until you start getting into the rhythm of live streaming. And also, I think what's really more important other than the frequency is, you know, test and learn. We always say in any kind of e-commerce world, right? Like, you want to get started and really learn from doing it. As soon as you start live streaming, the feedback is immediate. Like, you can easily see, you know, how many viewers are on the live streaming, are literally right now watching your live streaming sessions, how many comments you are getting. And in fact, with some kind of a simple analytic tools at the back end, you can even analyze, okay, so what exactly are the phrases or sentences I have said which triggered more comments? What are the contents that ultimately triggered the conversion? You know, a lot of the analysis can be done, a lot of lessons can be taken immediately after you start. So I would say the frequency is not super important, but it's just getting started is probably the most difficult step, but the most important step.
Yeah, I mean, getting started first, start small, get comfortable with it and pick up the pace from there.
Exactly.
And by the sounds of it, what you're saying is actually on the analytics part, which we haven't spoken about too much, you can actually then drill down on what words are resonating, where the interest picked up, if there was a conversion, I guess. And then you can use that to kind of improve and enhance and look at what's working for future sessions.
Yes, exactly. This capability depends on the agency, depends on the platform and the technology specifically that supports that platform. But overall, that's a possibility.
So, Flora, can we get into the third point around tips and watchouts?
Absolutely. So I think from an organizational perspective, there are a lot of things that we can be preparing ourselves better in order to adapt to this new reality of live streaming and utilizing live streaming as a tool to really build the brands and driving sales. For bigger organizations, the number one watch out that I've seen so far is really on, you know, just being not too siloed, because big organizations, we've got a fantastic teams of experts, but then because we are used to just working with our team members within the same team, and then we forgot about, you know, the fact that we really need to kind of work cross functionally for specifically, you know, e-commerce live streaming, things like e-commerce live streaming, which really requires cross-functional efforts. A lot of times it's about breaking the silos between the sales and marketing teams. And then this really goes back to my previous points on, you know, e-commerce is not only a sales channel, it is a media. So live streaming, in fact, fits perfectly between those two. So you really need the effort from both the sales and the marketing teams working seamlessly together. So breaking the silos would be the number one thing that I think importantly for driving the live streaming success for e-commerce business. And also, I kind of mentioned this earlier a little bit as well, for large organizations, a lot of times we do have contents, but we don't have a perfectly built kind of and a scalable contents library yet. So it's quite important to kind of build in not only kind of the infrastructures to allow us to eventually scale up our contents library, but also build in the procedures, the way of working. I think that's really more important as well, in addition to the technology, to the actual assets, contents assets that you are accumulating over the years, so that everyone has access to it. And also everyone is comfortable working with each other, contributing to the contents library and getting things out from that contents library. So that's really for kind of for the bigger organizations, the watch outs. So for smaller organizations, I think the watch outs will be really just, get brave, get creative, get disruptive, because over the years, I've seen so many brands, so many emerging brands gaining a lot of popularity in a very short period of time, disrupting the entire space because they utilize the live streaming well, they utilize the e-commerce well. It's a very powerful tool if you just get creative, and it's a very cost-efficient tool as well, and it just allows you to disrupt. So I think that has a lot of potential for smaller organizations, SMEs, be brave and get creative.
Yeah, absolutely. That's always the big thing, isn't it? You've got to be so creative to really take advantage of this. And if you make it too boring, no one's going to resonate.
Yeah, absolutely.
True. It's always a big thing on the silos between sales and marketing, but any advice on kind of how to kind of align the two teams just to get everyone bought in?
I think eventually we will need to explore the shared KPIs, right? Traditionally, for a lot of organizations, sales teams usually have sales as the target, the KPI. Brand marketing teams usually have a separate set of KPIs. And ultimately, they're responsible for sales as well, but it's a little bit far away from their daily KPIs, if I may say. So okay. A lot of times for e-commerce, and not limited to live streaming, but for the e-commerce, I think it's really about, number one, getting a deep understanding of each other's KPI and how my KPI is contributing to the other side's KPI. Mm-hmm. And number two, from a top management perspective, is to explore whether we can have a little bit more shared KPI to start with. We understand that different parts of the organization have different priorities and different roles in driving the sales ultimately, but then having a little bit of a shared KPI actually helps tremendously just by setting those up in areas like e-commerce and live streaming.
Yeah, and I guess as well, getting people also bought into the outcome, so what the potential outcome will be, and then being able to see the benefits, and then that also kind of brings them in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That comes down to actually understanding, right, the other side's KPI. For example, I always tell our sales colleagues, right, like, you know, not only caring about the sales, obviously you need to understand how live streaming can contribute to building a brand in the long term, where this brand sits in the overall brand building journey. What exactly is the strategy for this brand at this particular moment? And what exactly do you want to achieve for this brand with the help of live streaming? So all of those questions need to be answered before you convince another colleague from the other side of the table to join you in the effort of live streaming.
And then when it all comes down to it, Flora, in terms of the execution, any kind of final advice you'd give to the listeners on just how they execute in the best way?
Yeah, absolutely. So if I may draw kind of an example from China again, many of you might actually know, like Austin Lee, right, who is the king of lipsticks and a top KOL for e-commerce live streaming. And in fact, people often focus too much on how he says different things on the scene during those live streamings, but people tend to forget the tremendous amount of work behind the scenes. In fact, I think the key strength and the differentiator of live streaming often sits exactly behind those scenes. For example, like how do you actually choose your assortment to be put on those live streaming sessions? What is your quality control, the QC? Process, a lot of times those preparation work is unseen from the live streaming session itself, but in fact is the biggest contributor to the success of a live streaming session. And if you look at how the team of Austin Lee works behind the scene, you will know that, a lot of the strength actually sits in that rather than, the talking points for those products during those live streamings, which are important as well. And I think there are tons of things that we can learn just by watching how he talks on those live streaming sessions. But I think for any brands doing the execution, very, very importantly to remember is to prepare beforehand to make sure that your assortment is the right one, your promotion mechanisms works for the live streaming session, your QC actually works, a lot of things can be done.
As with anything technical, a lot of things can go wrong.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I guess as well, you just also got to be ready for that. You've got to be set up for that. So if something does go wrong, you've got that mindset that may happen and how you can adapt quickly and carry on.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So Flora, I've loved talking to you about e-commerce live streaming in Asia. We unpacked some really good points here. I've taken so much value out of that. I've got so many notes. So I want to be trying some of this myself. but just to round off, I always ask my guests if they could share one life or career lesson with the listeners.
If I may put in like one of my biggest lessons in the career, that will be kind of, again, I kind of going back to my previous point as well, which is, breaking the silos all the time, not being afraid of asking questions to the experts in different areas, not being able to admit that I just simply don't know everything. So a lot of times it's really about stepping out of my comfort zone to getting to know the areas that I may not be super familiar with at the very beginning, but then eventually just by talking to people from different functionalities and different areas of expertise, I just learned so much. And in fact, what I observed so far is that the best talents in our organization usually are the connection points, right? They are the perfect intersects across different connections. They're almost the oil of the engine, if you may say. And then they tend to actually bring out the best ideas out of the organization. So I hope that I can potentially enhance myself in that way as well, like keep breaking the silos and keep stepping out from my comfort zone and learning from other people.
Yeah, I think when you become uncomfortable, it normally means that you're probably pushing yourself forward, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And unfortunately, being comfortable means sometimes we're not progressing, sadly.
True.
Although we do like our comfort as well, don't we?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right.
Flora, I've loved talking to you today. How can people get in touch if they want to find out more?
Oh, feel free to reach me on LinkedIn. Search for Flora Hu, and you can find me there.
Flora, thank you so much for coming on Digital Transformation and Leadership and sharing on a topic that's so moment in time, right in the moment in time. I know the listeners will get so much value out of this. So thanks again, I really appreciate it.
It was very nice speaking with you, Danny. And again, thank you for having me here.
You've made it to the end of another episode of Digital Transformation and Leadership. If you're enjoying the show, please do leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. No need to leave a written review. Just clicking on the 5 stars is enough. I'd really appreciate it as it helps the show get found and it helps those listener numbers grow. And we'll be back again next week when we will again go behind the scenes with another top business leader to understand how they're digitally transforming their company. The Digital Transformation and Leadership Podcast is a Blue Aurora Media production.